Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am too smart. I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean, S-M-A-R-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. If you just tuned in, we're glad you did that. Welcome aboard. You've been listening already. We consider that a sign of high intelligence. And I know why, because we got Bill Connolly back on the show. Bill is a longtime friend of ours and longtime member of our Brain Trust. Dr. Connolly is the author of the book Bizonomics. He's the author of the recently produced white paper, The Small Business Financial Crisis. And he's here to talk to us about that very issue. Bill, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim.
It's good to have you back.
It's good to be with you.
Hey, one of the things that that I've been saying, Bill, is that I've been reminding my audience that this is one of the ways that I show them that I'm kind of an old guy, and that's that this is my sixth recession. The first one was 1969.
Okay.
I wrote a paper in college on that recession, and then got laid off. They weren't connected, but I guess what I'm getting at is I'll never forget that recession because those were two things that I did. I wrote the paper on why we were having the recession, and then before I got delivered the paper, I got laid off.
Yeah.
Now the good news is the next day I went and got another job. But the point is I've been around these things a long time, and here's the thing that's different. And I've been saying this, and I'll ask if you agree with me. The one thing that's different about this one than all the others, in every other time that we've had a recession, the credit market was healthy and ready to go to work, ready to work to lend, whenever the consumer and the business owner was ready to come back to the marketplace. That's not the case today. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And when I look for analogies, I look to the Asian financial crisis. You have to sort of understand what was going on inside Indonesia and Thailand and Malaysia to understand what's going on right now.
And that was what, back in 98, 99, something like that?
Yeah, 97, 98.
Uh-huh, yeah. So, so don't stop there. Keep going.
Okay. Well, you know, we had some things changing in the world of finance and especially small business finance even before this financial crisis. Globalization was going on, and globalization is not just about buying cheap underwear from China. It's also about the flow of money. And you know that we in the United States are not big savers, but we like to borrow. Well,
right.
The big savers are in China and Kuwait. Mm-hmm. So the globalization of finance means that when you get a loan for your business, the raw materials may very well have come from Asia or the Middle
mm-hmm.
East. Even if you're dealing with an American banker at an American bank and you're sitting across the desk, whether
mm-hmm.
it's in, you know, Atlanta or Kentucky or wherever,
right.
you may be borrowing money that actually originated somewhere outside this country.
Mm-hmm.
And so that globalization is the first thing to understand. And the other key point, I think, is that most business loans can be securitized, and that ranges all the way down from the little guy who runs a small business off a credit card up through business loans and into commercial mortgages on business property or equipment financing. All of that can be securitized, and securitization doesn't work as well as it used to.
Right.
So I think you...
That's because they abused it.
Yes, and
it's because it's been abused. Because the people who securitize these things, and this is, and you correct me if I'm wrong, Bill, because you're the expert on this, they didn't just securitize it one time, which added value to the market. They then re-securitized it, made more fees, but that transaction didn't add any value. In fact, it created the kind of opacity that we've got right now. What do you think?
That's right, and the deals became so complex. That nobody understood them,
and nobody knew who all the counterparties were.
That's right. That's right.
Yep.
And you piled on deal after deal after deal, and some of the later deals were a deal to put together 100 other deals, and
right.
then you put together another couple hundred other deals,
and then you get what we got right now.
Yeah, exactly. But as a result of that, the folks who securitize low loans, including business loans, are now saying their favorite flavor is plain vanilla. They don't want anything fancy, and
right.
The business borrower needs to keep that in mind, because a year or so ago, you could go into a banker and explain that your business is a little different from other businesses. That
mm-hmm.
doesn't work as well today.
And I want you to expand on that when we come back, folks. All this stuff that we're talking about, there's a reason why you need to know about that, and Bill's going to explain that to us in just a little bit, why it's important for you to understand this as you go about acquiring the capital you need to run and grow your business in the future. It's 20 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with me. I'll be right back. We're back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's the mothership. And also our knowledge base, askjim.biz. And my blog is jimsblog.biz. I write that blog myself. Nobody else does that. So, sometimes you see blogs and you don't know who wrote it. Well, I write mine. And so I encourage you to check it out and leave a comment. See what I've got to say, and I'd leave your thoughts there as well. And if you forget all that, just remember smallbusinessadvocate.com, because that's the mothership. That's where you can find all of our stuff, including the blog, including the knowledge base, and including the ability to subscribe to my free newsletter, which I hope you'll do. Dr. Bill Connerly is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He is the author of Bizonomics. His new white paper is called The Small Business Financial Crisis. And Bill, we were just talking about some of the things that we've gotten ourselves into, other people have gotten us into. Why is all this financial crisis and the global financial landscape, why is all that important to small business?
Well, you know, some businesses can go on financing their own operations out of cash flow, but almost every business has to lay out money for expenses, for raw material, for labor, for rent on a building, or at least for business cards, before they get started, before any customers pay them. So you either have to start a business with a lot of capital, or you need to have the ability to borrow as your company grows. So finance is pretty much important to anybody from the very smallest one-person shop to the larger businesses.
Right. Well, that's exactly right. Now, one of the things, even though I said earlier that the credit crisis, the credit meltdown, industry meltdown, is what's different about this one than the past. One of the things I also say, Bill, is that for a small business that has a good relationship with a bank and has kept their credit good and has a viable business model, those people can get loans from independent community banks right now, no problem at all.
You know, I think that's mostly true, but I've just heard too many anecdotes that folks are having a more difficult time.
The requirements are tougher. The standards are tightening up, but that's a regulatory thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it's partly that. The other thing that I think about is somebody tells me that a deal fell through because of the credit crunch. I'm a little bit skeptical, and I sometimes wonder if maybe the deal fell through because the guy didn't want to go through with the deal, and then he was just looking for a convenient excuse.
Well, but it could have been a credit crunch, because maybe the covenants that the bank wanted on the deal was too onerous. I mean, I can see that, but I mean, what I'm saying is, is regular rubber meets the road small businesses out there, not trying to put together big, you know, M&A deals or anything like that, just trying to get enough money to grow their business, to buy more equipment, to buy more inventory, to buy a new piece of real estate or something like that, they can get that money from the local bank.
You know, in some cases they can. I think there are some cases where And this is what I, as an economist, really worry about, is not that a real estate developer can't put up another subdivision.
Yeah.
What scares me is that an everyday business on Main Street that is profitable is suddenly cut off from the credit that it's used to using.
Yeah.
And that
happens if you've been dealing only with big banks. That's what's been happening with the big banks. But I'm pretty close to the independent community banks, Bill, and the national organizations as well as the folks on the street. And they tell me, and my experience has been, my own experience talking to other people and with my own banker and with bankers across the country, that's okay. But some of the other facilities, like credit card availability, startups are really going to have a hard time starting a new business right now if they're going to rely on credit, Bill.
Yeah, and a lot of people start a small business with a credit card, the same credit card they used for the groceries T-shirts.
Most of them did, including yours truly way back 20 years ago. Bill, one of the things you say in your white paper is you talk about the way small business owners will get credit in the future. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, today, or certainly 2 years ago, you could walk into a bank, a community bank, and say, hey, here's are my financial statements, and I'm a little bit different, but would you take a look at me? And the banker would take a look at him and say, well, I'm going to have to explain this to our loan committee, but I think that we can make you the loan. And in the future, that's not going to work. Because so much of business credit is securitized in a global market, the borrower, I think, needs to be right in the middle of the fairway, not off to either side, and needs to be right in the banker's sweet spot. So if you have to explain yourself and why you're a little bit different, I think it's going to be harder to get a loan. So you want, as a small business owner, you want to not have to explain yourself. You want to put your financial statements on the banker's desk and have him say, oh, yeah, this is exactly what we want to lend to.
Right. Well, you know, this sounds like something I've been saying in this way, though, a lot more crudely, not as elegantly as you just did, Bill. But what I've been saying is right now is not a good time to be out on the leading edge. It's a good time to focus on fundamentals. Stick to your knitting. Stick to what you know how to do. Don't get out on the leading edge too much. And the reason, Bill, I say that is because the one thing that's very near to the leading edge is the bleeding edge.
That's right. That's right.
So,
and I think that's very true. And even if your bank is not securitizing loans, he knows what is securitizable and who has options at other banks.
Right. Stand by. We're going to take a quick break. Right back with Dr. Bill Connolly right after these messages. 10 till. His book is called Bizonomics, and I recommend it.
She was a bebop baby.
We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Here's the Atlanta Rhythm section bringing us back. And surely this is our theme song, ladies and gentlemen.
You have to go on and do it all.
When everything seems to go wrong, you have to go on and do it or die. I think that must be our theme song. That's an old Atlanta Rhythm section, ARS song, and one of my favorites. And I think Bill Connolly knows a little bit about that. Dr. Bill Connolly is the author of Bizonomics. And Bill, we need your website, please.
Yeah. Bizonomics. Actually, the easiest way is ConnerlyConsulting.com. Connerly
okay.
spelled with only one N, C-O-N-E-R-L-Y, consulting.com.
So
and then there's
that.
A website specifically for this new ebook, and it's called SmallBusinessFinancialCrisis.com. Just string all those words together, and you're there.
So check that out. And I recommend it, folks. And I've got a copy of the ebook. It's outstanding. I think you'll enjoy it. One quick thing I want to talk about on the securitization thing. Bill, you were saying that small business owners need to understand more and more of their loans are going to be securitized. What you mean is, as you said, and I just want to make sure I get this out in plain English. In the past, when you got a loan from a bank, that money was local money. And the loan officer said, yeah, we'll invest our deposits in you, that kind of thing. And the whole transaction kind of stayed there. But if it's securitized, That means it's beyond the loan officer's purview. This is, they've got to now make sure that this loan can become part of a security that's going to be upstreamed to people who securitize them, and they've got their own standards for what they want in this package, right?
That's exactly right. And if you peel into the balance sheet of your own bank, in many cases you're finding that they have more dollars lent out than they have in deposits.
Right.
A loan-to-deposit ratio greater than 100%. So they have to get that money from somewhere. And what they can do is they can take a bundle of loans and securitize them, sell them off. Now, they're still dealing with it. We call that the servicing.
Right.
And
right.
As a business owner, you may not know that your loan was ever securitized. But the important thing is the guy at the other end of the transaction, he may be sitting in Dubai or in Shanghai, and he's thinking, yeah, I'll invest in some of these American business loans, but I want to make sure that these guys are good credit.
Do you think this is mostly with big banks, or you think some independent smaller banks are doing it too?
The very smallest I probably are not, but yeah. Certainly mid-size community
yeah.
banks are securitizing.
Is there anything wrong with asking the loan officer, where's this decision going to be made? I've been telling people to do that for years. Ask your bank. Ask you if they can't give you the answer right now, if they can't say yes or no right now, they say that I have to ask somebody else. The other people are involved. I tell them it's okay to say, you know, where are those people? What are they? Who are they?
Yeah. That's a good question, but you may very well have a local lending officer who is told, if the loan meets these standards, you have the authority to do it. So the local
right.
loan officer may say, I'm making the decision, but he's really having to conform to standards
right.
that have been
right.
set in the global marketplace.
Exactly. Bill,
go ahead.
I want you to, in the minute and a half we got left, I want you to give us your perspective on where we're going in the next, say, 6 months, 9 months,
sure.
with regard to the credit situation and the economy. What do you think?
Yeah, I think the overall economy hits bottom long about March or April. People have been saying, Bill, do you have good news for me? And I've been saying good news is on back order, but we expect to have a supply in come spring. So maybe it's March, April, could even be May. We hit bottom, then we start climbing out of this. And I think that credit is going to, well first of all, some of the stuff that's going on in Washington, D.C. will help us get back into the normal range of credit availability, but the tight end of normal. And I think come a year from now, it's going to feel closer to normal. But you have to keep in mind, Jim, where we were 2 years ago was not normal. Where we were two
exactly.
years ago was abnormally easy credit.
Just,
and we're not
just
going
like
to go back
just
there.
Like in 1998 was not normal with the dot coms and all that. We got to get off of these 10 year cycles of normal from abnormal to a crash. But we got to figure out how to fix that. You know what?
Yeah, well, actually, the economy has been more stable in the last 25 years than we had been used to, but
yeah.
business leaders have to be prepared for more cyclicality. Once you start swerving to the left, it's going to be real easy to swerve to the right.
And especially with the 21st century technology, I think that's another thing that we got to be careful about, too. Hey, Bill, thanks for being here. Good job today. Connerly with one N, ConnerlyConsulting.com, right?
Yep, always good talking with you, Jim.
You too, Bill. See you next time.
All righty.
Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you that when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.